Step it up. You know, hour number three on Friday is always a busy hour. You're going to have a tough time getting through. You want to hit me right now. I will get to those phone calls a little bit later on. But first up, we are joined by a studio anchor and a host for Spectrum Sportsnet, a panelist for our daily TV show back in the day, co-host of the Detox Podcast, good friend of mine, good friend of the program. He is Chris McGee. My brother, Chris. What's going on? How are you?
Romy, always an honor to be on. I hope you, Janet, and those studly boys of yours are doing well, brother. What a good time to be in L.A.
Oh, man, it's a great time. Hope you and the fam are doing well, too, Chris. So you're always upbeat already. I can hear it. You're positive. You're always going to bring the energy. How are you feeling today when you wake up the morning of Game 5 knowing that the Lakers have a chance to close out the finals this evening and win title number 17?
Romy, it's a crazy feeling. I haven't had it in a long time. You know how spoiled we are living in this town. But, you know, I took this job at Spectrum Sportsnet, you know, 8 years ago when the Lakers started that new network. And man, we haven't even been to the playoffs, Jim. We've had no wins. Big Game James, Rob, the whole crew. So today just felt good, man. My little one, my nine-year-old daughter came up. She's got full Laker gear on. She's like, Daddy, this is how I'm watching the game tonight. I got Silk Bra, the legend, tweeting me. I mean, it's pretty awesome, Jim. I got to tell you, I'm trying to keep it in perspective. Got a show to host, but you know I'm ready, buddy.
My man, that is HB City Council candidate Silk Bra tweeting at you. Chris McGee joining us. All right, so not only do you have a chance to close out, or do they have a chance to close out the finals, but they're going to break out the Mamba jerseys tonight. Chris, now you were the one leading that charge on Twitter earlier in the week for that very move. How fired up are you that they're going to wear those uniforms?
It's funny, Romy, I tweeted that right after the game because I had heard that they weren't scheduled to wear them. And I even said in the tweet, literally, I have zero pull, but it would be really cool. And sure enough, the right decision was made. Listen, the last time you and I talked, it was the day after Kobe died. Well, I mean, here we are, you know, 9+ months later. You feel his spirit everywhere. I know you do as well. You were tight with him. You had a relationship. You live in a Newport. You know, he was part of that community. Such a major part of L.A., iconic. Global figure that he was. And listen, man, like, I'd be lying if I said I haven't thought a lot about him over the last couple weeks. There's always a little sadness for Romy, like me thinking, man, this would be so fun at Staples and just the Kobe chance. You could just imagine it, right? But when I think about Bron winning his fourth tonight, if he can, in Orlando, that's where Kobe won his fourth. You know Kobe's there in spirit. It's a big deal. And they just play different in those jerseys, Jim. It's just true, man.
No, they do, Chris. I don't think there's any doubt. And you obviously have a lot more pull than you think. Chris McGee is joining us. You know, I've asked this of every single NBA analyst that I've spoken to over the course of the year. So let me ask you also right now, how would you explain LeBron James playing at the level that he is at this point in his career?
It's unreal. And I feel like because I'm hosting every game night and every non-game night show, I often try to find new ways to describe him, Romy, and it's real tough. 17 years in, I just don't know if we've ever seen anything like it. I've never seen a guy be able to kind of have a pulse on what the game needs and what his team needs every single game, and that's why I always say he's the MVP. Like, he really dictates, Romy, how both teams play, especially the Lakers. Like, he just has those nights where he knows you need his offense, and he's going for 12 or 14 in the first quarter. And then you have those nights where he only has 8 at half, but then you look and he's got 11 assists already. And it doesn't matter how you think he plays, Jim. When you look at the box score at the end of the night, it's 39-10, 29-14-11. I'm running out of ways to describe it. But I think what the most important and most impressive thing, Romy, for me is this year he changed something and he led the league in assists for the first time. 6'9", what, 280? He led the assist, led the league in assists for the first time in the 17th year. To me, that's an incredible stat.
It's an amazing stat. Like, as much as I love Karl Malone back in the day, he was not going to lead the league in assists, right? You know,
no.
So when you look, Chris McGee is my guest, expertly breaking this all down. So what do you think, Chris, knowing the man the way you know the man and knowing the reaction of Laker fans when he first got here, it was such a Kobe town, what do you think that a fourth NBA title and a first title with the Lakers would mean to LeBron?
I think he, a lot like Kobe was actually, Jim, and you know this from all those hours you spent with him and interviewing him, man, he was a student of the game. LeBron is cut from that same cloth. And it was interesting. When he came over, when he first came over a couple summers ago, there wasn't a press conference. he didn't come out right away and embrace it like the fans wanted. So it was a little bit of an interesting start, right? But this year, before the season even started, he even said, like, listen, Laker fans don't care what you did before. And he understands what it takes. And then Kobe passing, the way he kind of took the microphone, took the torch and ran with it and led this team, he knows exactly what it means. And I think for him, Jim, outside of the Cleveland title, he's putting this right up at the top. And for me, his legacy grows even more. I mean, all those people that said he couldn't win in the West and, you know, had to be in the easy East with the cakewalk. Well, he's proven them all wrong again. I mean, he continues to do it.
Chris McGee is joining us. The Lakers have a chance to close it out tonight. You know, Chris, you mentioned that you got that job 8 years ago, and you and I would talk. You would come on The Daily Show, and I know those were challenging times. Like, if you were to go back to 2014, the Lakers were 27-55. Then they lost 61. Then they lost 65. Then they lost 56. What were those years like for you as the guy who had been hosting Lakers coverage at that time?
You know, I think back to those times where I was coming on your TV show, and I was telling you, man, Jimmy, I've been listening to you since the early 90s, and it was just so awesome. I'll never forget you. You know, you knew who I was, and you gave me some advice about, like, hey, just keep hosting those shows, keep grinding. Like, for me, because I always felt like it, and I did a funny video at the start of the playoffs. I did, like, a, you know, three-minute rant. You know, Laker fans were loving it. But basically, I was saying, like, 17 wins, 19 wins, and I was the first face you would see. You know what I mean?
Right.
After all those losses,
always.
That wasn't very fun. So I think back to those times, and I was watching some old videos recently. I mean, listen, we navigated through it. We would try to pump up Ryan Kelly as the stretch four you needed. Robert Sacre, what a story. Roy Hibbert, can he get back to defensive player of the year? I mean, the stuff I was slinging, I think back and I go, man, I was really trying to keep it positive.
Wow.
The difference, Jim, it's just easier working now. It's easier doing shows. You can just speak from the heart and tell the truth. It's pretty awesome.
It's really something. I'm kind of chuckling because, yeah, man, you worked it. You always spoke from the heart, and I know those storylines that you were selling, you believed, and you did what you did then. It is much easier right now, but it's amazing, Chris, the way it turned around. Like, Magic steps down in April 2019. At that time, the outside perception of the Lakers was, this is a really, really dysfunctional organization. 18 months later, they've got a chance to win an NBA championship. How has the organization and this team turned it around so quickly?
It's crazy, but you got to give a lot of credit to the front office. And you go back to what you were talking about when Magic stepped away and Luke went to Sacramento. Those were tough times. But when you land a player like AD and all those years, Jim, that you talked about, the 17 wins, the 19 wins, the building up those assets and draft picks and those young players, you were able to trade them for Anthony Davis. The work then began, I thought, signing an Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, who was an afterthought, Romy, Rondo, getting him back in the mix, even guys like JaVale McGee, role players like Alex Caruso, who really, unless you were around the organization, you just didn't know how awesome this kid was. All those guys, getting Markieff Morris for free after the deadline, all those little things added up to a championship team. I mean, here's the thing, Jim, when I'm watching over the playoffs, they have a luxury that no other team had. Just the versatility to change on any given night, any given series, go small, go big, go with three guards, go with all bigs. I mean, it's insane what they've been able to do, and you have to take your hat off to that organization. To be able to pivot, Romy, like you just said, the day after Magic, you know, it looked like they were, you know, lottery bound again, and literally here we are a year and a half later, and they're in the finals. I don't know if there's another organization in sports that would be able to do that.
Chris McGee joining us, and honestly, if I'm being really transparent, I did not see that happening. I did not see that pivot. I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing. Chris, before you go, I want to ask you, for some reason, like, Frank Vogel is not getting a lot of credit for the job that he's done this year, and I want to say it again for the record. I think this guy is an unbelievable coach. I said it, an unbelievable coach. I think he's done an amazing job, and I think he's a great coach. How impressed are you with the job that he has done and the way he handled the pressure that comes along with coaching this franchise?
You just nailed it for me, Jim. He handles the pressure. He handles his business. He's not a guy that's looking for all the credit. He has never mentioned a word. I'll never forget sitting in Jeannie's office. I did a sit-down half-an-hour interview with him before the season started.
And that's where we did it. We had about 20 minutes to chat, and I'll never forget walking away going, man, I'm really impressed by this guy. A couple guys I knew around the league that played for him, they're like, trust me, this guy can coach. But I love, Jim, that like it's almost like Pete Carroll when he came to SC. He's like the third or fourth option, right? And all of a sudden you got Jason Kidd, you got Lionel Hollins, you got all kinds of, you know, head coaching experience, and people thought that that would be pressure as well, and that everyone would start to try to, you know, divide this group. And he kept everyone on the same page. And honestly, Jim, the only goal this team has had was win a championship. And when everyone's on the same page and no one's selfish and looking for their own numbers or looking for the credit or looking for the money, you can do amazing things. And that's what Frank's been able to do. And by the way, coach his butt off. Like, all those adjustments defensively, give the man some credit. He's been incredible.
Chris McGee joining us. Now, when you mentioned like those things that could have happened, like guys, if they're running off and they've got their own agenda and they're thinking about me, I mean, you're talking about a guy, the artist previously known as Dwight Howard. Chris, I got to ask you, like, how pleased are you with what Dwight has brought to the Lakers in his return to LA? And how shocked are you by the way he's shown up and maintained this the entire time?
If 8 years ago someone came to me and said, hey, man, you're going to be on the Jim Rome show and you're going to be applauding and praising Dwight Howard, I would slap him in the face. I mean,
right?
Jim, it's you know when I really saw it, Romy, for the first time? I think it was right around game – it was early in the season, game 3 or 5. You know, we're always in the studio, but once in a while the boss will run us out to Staples and we'll do the pregame show there and shake hands and kiss the babies and feel it. You know, it's pretty fun. James is out there with me. We have a great time. And I'll never forget sitting there watching the game, you know, press row with Big Game James. And I'm looking out there, and I look over, and I go, James, I go, Big Game. Dwight Howard, they're chanting his name at Staples. He had the quickest turnaround, Romy, I've ever seen, and all he did was hustle, compete, set screens, dunks, just do all those things you always wanted him to do, and he did it selfless. That was it. And he stepped up for his teammates. He backed KCP on Instagram when everyone was all over him, and he was a leader, and they fell in love with him again. It was pretty awesome. I'm so happy for him, Jim. He's really been through it.
I think it's been absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe it watching it, and I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop and for it to come to an end, but it didn't. And then, Chris, how funny, I've got about 60 seconds. When he turned a heel in the postseason, man, the whole thing is just so hilarious to me. Like, he's doing all the dirty work, but you can't help but just look at this guy and laugh, and for the right reason.
Right, you just hit it on the head. For the right reasons. And how about, like, he doesn't play against Houston at all. His attitude is great. And then he comes out and he just baffles Jokic in that first game and just causes an absolute havoc. And you're like, there's the value. That's Dwight. He's back. And you're right. You're laughing for all the right reasons.
He is a studio anchor and a host for Spectrum Sportsnet, a panelist from our daily TV show back in the day, co-host of the Detox podcast, an absolute pro, and a very good friend of mine personally and of the program. My man, Chris, you have a great night. Great to have you back in the jungle, and thanks for picking us up.
Romy, love you, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
I love you too, man, for sure. Chris McGee is one of my favorite people ever. He is such a good dude and such a pro.